Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up, everybody? This is the Bubba Show, Bubba here, and of course, you know me, I get the best guests in the world, and speaking of the best guests in the world, we have somebody in from Switzerland today, and Claudio Grass from globalgold.com. Welcome to the Bubba Show, Claudio.
Thank you very much, Todd, for having me.
Are you kidding? A guy like you, a gold expert, somebody who understands all the Ponzi scheme activities that are being provided by the central banks and Federal Reserve. How could I not want to have a guy like you on there, Claudio?
Okay, thank you very much. Yeah, there is. I think, yeah, it's a pity that we don't have, I don't consider markets as markets any longer. I mean, it's really the central banks which are manipulating everything based on money they print out of thin air. So, yeah, and now we are in the midst of it. I think, it's really we are in uncharted territory, unprecedented in history. So it's a big experiment what's going on right now.
And the experiment, in my opinion, of course, everybody knows my opinion, but I want to get yours on it. I believe that this experiment can only fail. I think the longer they allow it to exist in its current structure, the worse it will be when it finally does fail, because this is destined to fail. This is not destined to succeed. What do you say?
No, I fully agree with you. I mean, if... The only question we have to ask ourselves is, is it possible to create wealth out of nothing? And I think, that's exactly what the central banks are basically telling us. But I know, we all know that this is impossible, because otherwise, the central banks could give us each $1 million on an annual basis and we can all live a happy life. But we all know that this is not working. So, the bubble gets bigger, and the bigger it gets, the deeper the fall. And I think we can already see the cracks, in the system everywhere.
I think I do agree. There is a lot of cracks. Where are you personally seeing cracks? I mean, you're involved in a lot of things, and you're an extremely smart guy who understands all this stuff. Where are you starting to see some of the cracks?
I mean, first of all, I think. There is. Let's take, for example, the refugee crisis we are facing over here in Europe, where we see that the Middle East and Africa, basically the people are leaving or fleeing their regions. They want to come to Europe. So I think that's one of the cracks. That's an outcome of a failed policy over the last decades. Then we see, all the anti-establishment movements we have in Europe, but also in the United States, also on a global scale, like AfD in Germany, UKIP in the UK, the Brexit that we have just witnessed recently. We have secession movements in Germany, secession movements in northern Italy, secession movements in Spain. We have, the divide and conquer election campaign in the United States, which is also, we don't know what the outcome will be and what kind of impact it will have. And the uncertainties, of course, when it comes to China, when it comes to Far East, different interests of, let's say the U.S. and China in the Southeast Asia Sea. So these are all, cracks. Which are visible and just showing that the people don't feel that secure any longer. They are not sure what the future might bring, and slowly they are standing up against the establishment and fighting off what's going on right now.
And it's a shame, because they think that they're hiding something from us, and it's like they're a kid trying to get away with something. And look, we've watched this. In my opinion, since Alan Greenspan. Alan Greenspan was the first great bubble creator, followed by Ben Bernanke, and of course now followed by Janet Yellen. And Janet Yellen seems to have the willingness of all the rest of the central banks around the world to play in her arena with her. And it seems to me they're all taking turns at manipulating their own currency and, as you like to say, creating money out of thin air. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's definitely, I think Greenspan has been the guy who injected liquidity, you know, like crazy. Also, he used to be, you know, he used to know exactly what is gold, what is money. And gold is money. So he wrote the famous essay back in, I think, 67, where he basically said that the only money, you know, only gold is money, and that it would always stay money. So, and Yellen, yeah, you know, I mean, central banks are doing what they're always doing. Right now, I believe, you know, they only have one possibility in the future. First of all, they are trying to keep up the illusion that they will raise interest rates again in the future. I don't see it happen with, you know, the actual total debt we have in the system. I mean, we stood at 140 trillions back in 2008. Today, we are standing at 200 trillions. So it's just huge. And I basically, you know, believe that from now in the near future, we're going to see much more negative interest rates, because that's the only way how you can punish the savers and favor the debtors to get, you know, to decrease the total debt in the system.
And of course, in my opinion, you're 100% right. And this is ugly. I mean, this whole theory of a central banking fiat currency model, I think that they've gone a little bit too far. Okay, with the ability to print money, I think that they've overstepped the true boundaries of what was designed for a central bank. Do you have any thought to that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, let's look at the U.S. for example. You know, I think the official debt is what stands at 20 trillions, roughly. And the unfunded liabilities, they're standing at, you know, as per Kotlikoff, already he came up with a study about 2 years ago there. He said they're standing at 220 trillions. And when we look at the official debt, for example, you know, 98.5% has been created since 1971. So basically, when Nixon went off the gold standard, he shut down it on the 15th of August. I mean, since then, you know, we have been witnessing a huge credit orgy up to today.
And of course, that means that there can only be a disaster waiting down, because eventually you get your debt gets so big that you can never get enough to get out of that debt. And if even the printing has to stop at some point, because there's going to be no support underneath it whatsoever. We've already got enormous problems now. Any thought to that?
You know, I mean, at the end of the day, we are living in a centralized system. And, you know, we have central banks, we have centralized governments ruling over the people in most countries on this planet. And so what we are witnessing right now is, at the end of the day, that this centralized system is centralizing even further. So, I mean, you know, Mark Faber, he said once, you know, when the central banks can buy all the bonds, then they can buy all, you know, the stocks and the shares. And once the real estate market is going down, they even can buy all the houses. And then we are living in a full-scale socialistic world. I don't see that this is happening, because still, I believe, you know, there are two different interests. And at the same time, I also see, you know, the power of the internet, which is, from my point of view, the kind of Gutenberg press, because it really, you know, it allows every person on this planet to have all the information he's looking for. If he wants to research stuff, he has it at his fingertips. So, I mean, in the past, you had to go to the library, or you had to watch, you know, government media or government controlled media channels, TV and radio stations. And today, basically, you have a possibility, if you are really interested, that you can, you know, look it up, do your own research, and form your own opinion. And I think this is really a game changer. And at the same time, I believe, you know, the internet cannot be confiscated or censorized. So, because it has been growing, you know, in an anarchistical art.
Hold that thought, Claudio. We're gonna pick this up after the break. I'm with Claudio Gross from globalgold.com. You gotta listen to this guy. He's got good stuff to say, and we're just getting into it. We're scratching the surface. This is the Bubba Show. When you miss an episode, libertytalk.fm, you can get a download. We'll be right back after the break with more of the Bubba Show and Claudio Gross, the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Hortz will be right back.
Right, turn off the lights. We're gonna lose our minds tonight.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Claudio Grass from GlobalGold.com. So you were talking about, Claudio, how we can pick up the information and so on and so forth. Go ahead and finish your thought because I have a question for you.
As I said, I really believe the game changer is the internet. And right now we are in a kind of transition period, meaning also the information warfare has started. And because the internet is, today, as you can do a radio show and you can, stream it and put it on YouTube, whatever, and then you can reach out to, thousands of people. In the past, that was impossible. So I think information is key. And in the past, we were basically following only the mass media, which, when you look at the United States, you have six companies controlling the whole media landscape, and they always have been, in bed, always big government and big companies. And I think Mark Twain said once, if you don't read the newspaper, you're uninformed. If you read the newspaper, you're misinformed. And I think, people can create, or can gain their own, or can put together their own opinion by just, doing their own research on the internet.
All right. Now, you brought up a good point, but now my question to you is, I believe, as you can see by the Hillary Clinton leading to win the presidency, that people really do the research. I think that we're still stuck in that, the government's right because of the government. And, we know that's incorrect. And I think people have trouble believing that the Fed and the central banks around the world really don't have their best interests at heart. And I think that's a bigger problem. What are your thoughts to that?
When we look, we have been raised in a government-controlled education system since childhood, and we have been indoctrinated from childhood that the path of success is based on memorizing and repeating. So, this just shows, we haven't been taught to question authority. And the reason for this is that it's much harder to manipulate logical or independent thinkers. And now, when we look at the States, or when I look into Germany or other countries, I see this political correctness, which is a huge topic. You're not allowed to debate certain topics because they are politically incorrect. And so that's a kind of mind control. And that also is not allowing, a society to enlighten themselves, because the path for enlightenment is basically to debate, to have an open debate about every topic, to have free speech. And when the people are allowed to debate freely, this is then basically, leading a civilization or people into a much better direction. And this, of course, is forbidden up to today. They're trying to hamper it down and, to dump us down. And as I said, that's happening since childhood. So a lot of people, of course, they have problems to deal with reality, because that reality has been shaped by the mass medias and, the government-forced schooling system, which, as I said, never questioned authority, and where the collective has been, is key, and the individual basically counts nothing.
Well, it's funny, Claudio. I was never a big fan of the Federal Reserve, but I always felt that they were necessary. Okay, and I had a partner who was brought up as a Keynesian. Okay, so, we're 80 years into Keynesian economics, and I'm not saying that any system is perfect. I think they all have some flaw somewhere, and there's probably a great combination of a better system between them all. But all that being said, but as I have watched the destruction over the last 10 years now, I have become from a fence sitter saying, well, they're kind of a necessary evil, to say that they're no longer necessary and they are actually creating more harm than good, and that in fact they are destroying the capitalistic system of free markets and price discovery with every step that they take. I want to get your opinion on that, please.
Yeah, I fully agree with you. The central banking system. I don't know if you know the Ten Commandments of communism or of Marx. And, one of the Ten Commandments is basically centralization of credit in the hands of the state by means of a national bank with state capital and an exclusive monopoly. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And therefore, I don't believe in a centralized monetary system. What we basically would need is, you know, free banking, and let the people decide themselves what they want to accept as money. And, you know, as soon as we will have a competition when it comes to that, you know, the people will realize quite fastly what kind of, what they want to use as a medium of exchange, what they want to use as a store of value, or a combination of both.
So, you know, when you look, Claudio, and you look at what's going on, and of course, you made a great point about power. And, you know, one of the big problems, obviously, is the government itself. Okay. You know, they don't have the right to print on their own. They go through the Federal Reserve. But the Fed is so tied in to the big banks, and the big banks have an agenda on their own, do they not? So where is it that there becomes the fair and equal for everybody? It really is a one-sided affair. For the Fed is basically to feed the wealthy. And, you know, it's funny, I did a call, you know, last night, and I said that at the end of the day, the Fed has destroyed the middle class, the savers, the fixed income people, because of their policy, and they've done a great job for the upper 1%. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, you know, they are, you know, I mean, when we look at how the banking system came into existence, basically, you know, the bank was a place where you were able to bring, you know, for example, in the past, it was, you know, gold, of course, or silver. They brought it to a bank because they were looking for a safe place. And in return, they received a paper receipt that they had, you know, deposited so and so much ounces of gold, for example. And then, you know, we had the first case, I think 300 before Christ in Greece, where there was one, you know, of these old bankers who basically handed out more paper receipts because he realized that not everyone is picking up the gold. So he thought, well, you know, I can fake it a bit and earn an interest on that. And so, you know, that guy was brought to court, and it was forbidden to do that. And today, basically, that's the system. You know, that's also when we look into fractional reserve banking. I mean, you know, when you deposit $1 million on the US dollar on the bank account, and that bank is in the fractional reserve banking system, basically, then, you know, if they have to keep, let's say, 1% as a down payment or on their stocks, they basically can create 100 millions of new credit out of thin air, and they can charge an interest rate, and they can decide who is going to receive it, for what kind of conditions. And this is really insane. I mean, this is just gives a lot of power to the financial system, which is not based on real goods. You know, it's not on hard assets, so they really can create something out of nothing. And this is, you know, if you think about it, I mean, this is absolutely insane. If we would do it on a personal basis, we would go to jail.
Right.
They do it, of course. They do it.
You must have heard me before. If we did what they did, we'd either be in bankruptcy court or in jail.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, you're right, and I do agree with that. And that to me is the bigger problem. When you have the power, and, you know, we've got a lot to cover, but we're going to get to a break here shortly. But, I mean, here's things to think about, what I want to talk about when we come back. You have, on February 11th, Janet Yellen called the Bank of England, Mario Draghi, and somehow Jamie Dimon bought the bottom of the market. I believe that the banks that are involved in the Fed do not have the best interest of the people or other banks other than the big banks. I think that we've created a system of too big to fail. And I think that's, at the end of the day, in my opinion, that will cause the overall failure when you create this model. This model is flawed because of all the things you talked about, the fractional banking. It's flawed because of the ability from even a regular bank. I mean, truthfully, if they wanted to, they could be lending out money like crazy at 9 times, and they could be creating money out of thin air, which is what you kind of mentioned. So we got a lot to cover. Plus, you got to tell us about Global Gold and what it's all about and what you guys are all about as well, because we want all the juicy details. Because here I got a guy in Switzerland, everybody. This is Claudio Grass from globalgold.com. Check out their website, but you got to listen to what he's got to say, because this is one of the smartest guys in this business, and here he's dealing directly with it. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure when you miss an episode, LibertyTalk.fm gets you a download of not only the Bubba Show, but it gets you the Sporting Edge as well. And also, as you're checking that out, go to BubbaTrading.com as we teach about the Federal Reserve. We teach about how to trade in these environments, because there are things that you need to know and how to hedge yourself for the impending or the problem that are going to be created. But in the meantime, we're with Claudio Gross, GlobalGold.com. The Bubba Show, Top of Boards. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
I know where I come from.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Claudio Gross from GlobalGold.com. Okay, Claudio, what is GlobalGold.com? What do you guys do, and what made you such an expert in the field of gold?
Okay, you know, basically, I mean, Global Gold, we are a company based out in Switzerland. And what we do is, you know, we store, buy, sell, deliver on behalf of clients, physical precious metals. In the format the client is purchasing, you know, it can be coins, it can be bars. And there we are offering tailor-made storage solutions, you know, for high net worth individuals, but also for institutional clients. And all the metals are stored outside the banking system because we believe you know, that the banking system is a potential threat in the future, that we're going to see, you know, a banking system collapse or a hyperinflation or a deflationary collapse. So basically what we do is we look into the little details which will make a big difference in a harsh crisis scenario. And the clients we are addressing are basically those kind of people who understand that physical gold and silver is their monetary insurance against all the uncertainties which are coming with the actual system in these days.
Do you see the fiat currency system cracking out and failing and going back to some sort of a back system of something?
Well, you know, I mean, as I, you know, we had in the last century, we had 50 hyperinflations. And so, you know, I mean, this is something which can happen on a regular basis. I see that the fiat money is going back to its intrinsic value, which is zero. And this, you know, I mean, Global Gold, we are not a marketing gag. You know, we really, we are also the way we are operating. We are operating very conservative. I think it's the purest way how to invest in physical precious metals. We don't allow online trading. We don't pre-finance. We don't hedge and so on. So we are really, you know, we are really made to go through, especially also to perform, especially in a harsh crisis scenario when everything is coming down. And so my personal opinion, of course, I mean, no one knows the future. And we're not even knowing the truth. We can dig for it. But I'm coming from the monetary history side, you know, so I'm also looking at the world through the Austrian School of Economics, and it's logical, you know, that this system is going to fail and to crash, and then we look at what has been money, you know, for thousands of years. what is a hard asset which has no third party, which is not a third party liability, which has an intrinsic value. And then we can see that gold and silver always, I mean, especially gold, always fulfilled that criteria, and that it will also perform as an insurance in the next, hyperinflation or deflationary collapse that we are going to witness in the future. No one knows exactly when. But I mean, yeah, look around you, what's happening on this world. I mean, it's not getting better. The trends are visible and the trends are extremely negative. When you look at how civil liberties are under pressure, we have certain countries already operating under martial law. And I think this is going further. And we are in a transition period where the governments are going to steal and confiscate as much as they can if they have the power to do so.
And I agree. And that's the interesting thing in the states here. Texas is one of the few states that doesn't allow that, which is obviously why there's a lot of the gold prices are in Texas right now. I believe that history repeats itself. And I don't, this time is not going to be different. And again, you mentioned a couple times in your words that we can't say when it's going to happen. But it's certainly going to happen at some point, because, again, you cannot continue to build on and add on debt, because that only creates a bigger problem, because eventually that has to be satisfied. So as you look to gold, now, Claudio, the relationship of gold to silver was supposed to be designed at 15 to 1, correct?
The relationship to gold, sorry?
Was right. Silver and gold were supposed to be, when it was originally built, it was built to be at a relationship of 15 pieces of silver would get you one bar of gold, right? I mean, that was the original relationship, correct?
Absolutely. The historical ratio is between 12 and 15. So you have different, but 12 and 15, definitely.
So now at a ratio of 80, I mean, what happened there? Why is that? Why is it accepted? And what the hell's the problem?
Gold, I mean, silver is definitely, when we look at gold, I mean, we have digged out, I think so far, roughly 170,000 tons of gold. 1% since then has been consumed or absorbed in the industry, but gold always has been, a monetary asset. So 50% is in jewelries, and the rest basically is held as investment in central bank gold. When it comes to silver, silver has extreme qualities, and it also, when we, people today, they look at silver more as an industrial metal, and most of the silver has been consumed. And so when we look at the silver price, of course, because it's also looked at as an industrial metal, we are facing basically a deflationary scenario for several years already. So we can see that the real economy is going down, global demand has been failing away, and so that has an impact also on the silver price, of course. But it's clear. I mean, we don't even know exactly how much silver is still on above the ground, and when gold will go through the roof, and then silver is going to perform and even to outperform gold, because it will close that loop between from 70 to 15, or maybe even a bit further closer to 12 or 11. I don't know, but I mean, at the moment, what can be said is silver is a present, and it's a great gift when you look at the prices, and I think the same goes for gold, because I don't know exactly. I never look into the short term prices, because there's so much stuff going on. You have the COMEX, and they have, I think 500 paper claims per physical ounce of gold deliverable at the COMEX. So, I mean, that just shows that the gold market in the system is highly leveraged. But I believe gold and silver are really standing at the beginning of the next bull market phase. And that, if I always tell my investors, now is a good moment to enter the market, and just make sure that you don't invest money. Don't look at it as a speculative investment. Look at it as your monetary insurance, and only invest as much money as you don't need in the next, let's say, 3 to 5 years. And then I believe you cannot do anything wrong.
That's why we have guys like you on, because you get gold is not, you're not speculating when you buy an ounce of gold. You're buying it to put it away and to have it for some safety as an investment, as a hard asset that you may not cash for 25 years from now. It doesn't matter. That's what you're doing. So when you put money into that, you're holding it for a longer term. Now, what is your view, Claudio, on the cryptocurrency space, the Bitcoin and things like that? Now, what are your views there?
You know, I'm following the Bitcoin business, of course, a bit, and I'm a big fan of this blockchain technology. I believe, you know, we most like in the future, most like, you know, a medium of exchange might be in the form of Bitcoin and the blockchain technology. I mean, that's absolutely possible. I'm not invested in Bitcoins because at the end of the day, it's also, I mean, everyone can, you know, it's basically possible to create and to dig a bit or to mint Bitcoins. But, you know, a lot of you can bring up, you know, 1,000, 50,000, 100,000 different Bitcoins. As far as I know, I'm not the specialist, but I don't look at, I think it's an interesting investment more from a speculative perception. But I, you know, I'm really not a speculator. So I'm sticking to gold, and I look, you know, what might be possible in the next few years if we ever going to have a digital currency that we can also, you know, transfer property titles based on gold, for example, or silver. But it still needs to be backed up with a real and hard asset. That's my opinion.
I agree. I mean, look, I was a... this is how my whole changeover took. I was against Bitcoin because of what happened with Mt. Gox and the latest, you know, because there's no really nowhere to know. I mean, if I buy gold, I can put it in my pocket, I can put it in my safe, I can touch it, feel it, and have it, right?
Yeah.
Bitcoin is kind of out in the middle of nowhere. Now, again, I'm not saying anything wrong with that, but there are always problems that, you know, you have no exchange, but of course the people who are in Bitcoin don't want an exchange, right?
Right.
So when there is nobody to clear it or back it up, that becomes a little bit scary to me overall. But I do see that as a possible wave of the future. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, absolutely. And I also, as I said, you know, I believe in free banking, and I believe also in that the people should be able to decide freely what they want to accept as money. And so I'm from the gold. I'm the historical guy. So therefore, of course, I'm in favor of gold and silver because it has been money for 5,000 years, and now we are talking about the U.S. dollar standard for 40 years. So, you know, I believe, you know, gold will become money again, you know, when this paper is going to be disclosed as what it is, just a piece of paper in different colors. And but Bitcoin is, you know, it's creating competition to the actual currency system, which I also believe is a good thing. And people just should always make sure that when they invest in something, that they really should understand what they are investing in. And as I said, you know, I haven't followed the Bitcoin crowd extremely closely, but my opinion is that it definitely has a future. And if people are willing to invest in there, I mean, definitely go for it. I mean,
I agree. Sure. I agree. I mean, again, I've been anti-Bitcoin. You know, guys like you have talked to me and about the blockchain and all the other stuff, but I'd be afraid. You know, I do take it on my website. I take Bitcoin, but I immediately convert it, just to be, you know, full disclosure. But anyways, okay, we're going to stop out here for a break. We got Claudio Grass from globalgold.com, and man, he's loading me up. I got so many questions. I don't have enough time to get them all out, but he's going to help us out, and he's going to come back again too. I know he is, because we're having a good time. But this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz with Claudio Grass from globalgold.com. You missed an episode, libertytalk.fm. We'll get you a download. We'll be right back after the break with Claudio, the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Claudio Grass from globalgold.com. All right, Claudio, here, I got a couple of real important things I want to get to. Number one, I know a couple of weeks ago, Deutsche Bank did not deliver or fulfill on their gold certificates that they were supposed to. And I've said all along, I am concerned about paper gold, you know, the ETFs and things, because I don't know that there's enough gold for as much as they're selling. You kind of intimated that a little bit earlier. Is that a problem? Are we having a shortage on, is there going to be a shortage on gold? And if so, why is the price not skyrocketed?
Okay, ETFs, you know, when I look at the GLD and the SLV and so on, I mean, I looked into their terms and conditions once, and to be honest, I don't like it very much. It's even questionable if there is really no physical gold in the back. And when I looked at it, the last time, it was not possible that you could ask for physical delivery. So, I mean, this is a Wall Street product and the paper scheme. from my point of view. When it comes to the Deutsche Bank, I mean, etc., basically, I had a discussion with a guy in Germany, which is very closely, you know, he's one of the gold popes over there, and we discussed shortly, you know, what happened. And so we are talking about one failed delivery, and we are not sure yet, you know, if it was based maybe also a bank clerk or a guy who had no clue how to proceed that request and so on. So I would not, I mean, we know that Deutsche Bank has a big problems, you know, we know that also that they are linked, you know, with the banks in Italy and so on. But if this would really be the case, you know, if they would really not allow or shut down the physical delivery, I think then we would also see a record sell in terms of, you know, that people would liquidate their shares, and this hasn't taken place. So I think we always need to be hesitant, you know, when we hear new informations, really to see is there truth to it? Was it a mistake, or is it really, you know, a bigger scheme and so on? And at the moment, I believe it's too early to say is there really, you know, an extreme problem or not. I don't think so at the moment. Also, when it comes to the physical supply and demand situation, what can be said is, you know, I mean, what we are witnessing over the last 12, 18 months basically is that the retail market has sold a lot of coins. So, you know, the small man in the street basically has realized that it's important to have physical silver coins, physical gold coins. And, of course, you know, when you are in mint, you have a certain capacity to produce coins. And once, you know, you're running 24 hours or, I don't know, even in certain jurisdictions, you have, you know, labor rules which don't allow that. But, you know, I think coins have been sold out, but that just shows, you know, that the demand side is very strong. It also shows that, you know, the masses are purchasing more physical gold, which is great, because I believe in every country, when the people have the more gold they have, the less harsh the transition period will be. So I think that's a good sign. Overall, what can be said is in terms of gold, I mean, you know, I'm talking to the Swiss refineries on a regular basis. We have 4 out of the 7 oldest refineries are still here in Switzerland. 70% of the gold refining on a global scale is going through Switzerland. So I believe, you know, we have a high reputation. We have a long-term history when it comes to gold refining. And there we don't have a shortage yet. So gold is still coming in. Of course, you know, we have seen over the last few years that the mining shares have suffered heavily. So that had definitely also an impact on how much new gold will be minted. But at the moment, at least there is no physical shortage. Only when it comes to coins, sometimes you have to wait because the production is already sold out. But that's overall, I mean, it just shows, you know, it's a strong development. It's heading in the right direction, and especially only a few people are buying gold. Great is that young people and, you know, and not the high net worth, they only are buying physical gold and acquiring it. So they get it in a way. And I think that market is growing.
And that goes to the next question, because, you know, I'm a big believer, and I know you are as well, in free markets, price discovery, and markets have the best. Markets are the best at pricing out assets by themselves because they work on the pure model of supply and demand. And so based on what you just told me, which makes sense, I mean, gold did not get crazy and did not go wild. I mean, it's up and it's been up the last couple of days, but it's been up. It still has not made its yearly high. It hasn't gone back to the yearly high yet. So the price discovery model is telling us that exactly what you just said, that there is not really a shortage with Deutsche Bank, and it was probably some other things, and the story is being a little bit more embellished than it really is, because I know you are a big believer in free markets and price discovery, correct?
Absolutely. No, I think, you know, I mean, the gold price is then spiking, or it's always reflecting that there is something wrong with the system, but it's also reflecting that the people are losing their trust in the institutions. And I think right now, you know, it's, there is some uncertainty. I mean, the gold price is heading in the right direction. I said 6 months ago, I thought, well, I believe we have reached also the bottom, and I see more higher prices. And I think, yeah, that's then also what we have seen over the past few months. But, you know, it's still, I mean, I'm extremely positive for gold, don't get me wrong, and also for silver. I really believe we're going to see much higher prices in the future. But right now, I mean, look, the US dollar is the world currency reserve. And basically, it's backed by oil. And when we look at, you know, the fracking market in the United States over the last few years, how much oil they basically have produced themselves, so that had also an impact on the dollar liquidity. So, you know, that liquidity is drawing out. That's why we see so many problems in the emerging markets. At the same time, we heard about, you know, new banking problems in the Eurozone and so on. So, you know, that is a sign that, you know, the dollar is getting stronger. People are going back into the so-called safe haven U.S. dollar. And whenever that happened, of course, it also had an impact on the on the gold price, because, you know, in most of the times when the dollar is getting stronger, then, you know, the price of gold in U.S. dollar terms is going a bit lower. But when you look at all the other currencies, euros, rubles, you know, the yen and so on, there you can see that gold did a fantastic job.
Yeah, but again, I could relate that back to the currencies, how they perform. But again, it's all the same. I mean, look, I'm in agreement with you that the model is broken, and that we're becoming too much of a socialistic world, not just a country, but a world. And they're basically wiping out the entire system, because everything is becoming too big to fail, which eventually will fail because of the way that's being laid out. And they've basically eliminated the middle class from any of this participation in this big, what they're calling, you know, wealth. I call it an air bubble that is going to be unbelievably ugly when it happens. But what are your thoughts to all that?
Yeah, I mean, too big to fail. Of course, that goes hand in hand with the centralized system. But everything goes on until it stops. And I mean, that's what we can see right now. I mean, you know, it's really centralizing, and, you know, the bigger companies are getting bigger. You know, there is a consolidation also in terms of currencies. We don't know exactly what is going to happen with the euro. We don't know exactly what is going to happen to the eurozone. So, I mean, you know, these are the cracks in this centralized system, and we see a counter trend basically in lots of countries. You know, look at Latin America. There you have, you know, chaos in Venezuela. Brazil is moving and changing. So, I mean, everywhere, you know, I mean, it's changing. I don't, centralized system will never work. It's just impossible. I mean, then, you know, would have, you know, all the people need to be so stupid that they don't realize what's going on. So I feel they will never succeed. And I think interests are different, even today, you know, from different countries, different interests. So I'm not very positive for the short run. But I'm very positive for the mid and long term. You know, at the end of the day, we need a correction in the markets, because otherwise we are just going to die slowly, you know, step by step. And as I said, you know, maybe they just are going to, you know, they want to get away with cash, because they know that as long there is cash, you know, people, they cannot go on with their negative interest rates policy. I mean, even now they are selling, you know, at the TV station saying, you know, we are in the lucky position that we can, by creating additional debt, we can make money. I mean, it's absolutely insane, and it's nonsense what these central planners are talking about.
It's absurd. You cannot borrow your way out of debt. That's ridiculous. Claudio, you got to come back again, because I got so much more for you. Will you come back again with me someday?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a real pleasure.
This is Claudio Gross from globalgold.com. I mean, honestly, I have so many more questions. I could spend hours with you, which we will do over time, because, again, these are the questions that people need to know. Claudio, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate you being on the show today.
Todd, thank you very much. It was a great pleasure. And speak soon.
We will speak soon. This is Claudio Gross from globalgold.com. This is Todd Bubba Horvitz, The Bubba Show. That'll do it for today, but we got more. We'll get him back. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same station. Remember, libertytalk.fm, and download the show when you miss it. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horvitz. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.